Well, the title of the message tonight is To Be Continued. Don't you hate it when you watch a show and you get to the end and instead of it wrapping up, you know, where the good guy won, it's to be continued. I hate that. Well, I just like for things to wrap up, you know, but in life, a lot of time, one day follows the next. Our lives are in a work in progress, right? They're to be continued, right? But I want you to understand tonight that the scripture makes it clear that there are some things that are always to be continued in our life. I mean, God wants to change us. The whole Christian life is a process of change. You never arrive. The Bible tells us in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we need to be pliable in the hands of the Master and allow him to change us. Amen. We shouldn't be stubborn or resist him working in us. But there are also things that the scripture tells us that we should continue to do faithfully, things that we should always do. So tonight we're going to talk about some of those things. Number one, first and foremost, we continue in prayer. Colossians 4:2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Prayer is how we get the Lord's help, and do we ever need his help? I mean, if you don't know you need his help, you really need his help. But when life gets hard, when it gets busy, when you can't seem to get your head above water, don't stop praying. Pray all the more. In fact, just put it in, you know, country boy terms, be bullheaded about praying. The scripture says, continue earnestly in prayer. Earnestly means with sincere, intense conviction. You got to get past that attitude of, well, I guess I'll try it. Sincere, intense conviction that you believe that prayer makes a difference, that God will answer your prayers. And prayer is not the last resort. Well, as it come to this, I guess we're going to have to pray. See, that's a part of the problem that we have with life is we view prayer as, you know, when nothing else works. Now, my wife, she got a hold of a message I preached some time ago that prayer works, and she says it all the time. Why waste time doing things that don't work? Prayer works. And I just want to tell you, the Bible says we're to continue in this. We should always be praying. You know, when you pray continually, you don't get caught off guard because you're always in the Spirit. You're always ready for whatever Satan might throw against you, whatever problems might arise. You pray about your day. You pray for your loved ones. You pray for your neighbors. You pray for your pastor. Amen. Listen, if you don't pray for your pastor, you can't complain about the preaching. I'm just saying. You shouldn't complain anyway. It's a sin. And don't forget to pray for those who spitefully use you. Hopefully that's not the pastor. But Jesus says, pray for those who spitefully use you. I want to tell you, some of us, that could take up some serious time. Anybody ever been wronged? What if instead of complaining or getting back at them, what if instead we took that as another opportunity to pray? We pray for the lost, amen? We pray that laborers be sent to the field. Jesus said to pray that. We pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. I tell you, our country's so divided, we need to pray because Jesus said a house that's divided cannot stand. We need to pray for the sick. The Bible says to pray for the sick. We need to pray for the church. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need to pray for God's direction in our life. We need to ask God for wisdom. Do you know everything? Do you know how to do everything? I mean, have you got this parenting thing down? Oh man, listen, we all need wisdom. The pastor needs wisdom. We gotta pray for wisdom. And here's the thing, he promises, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and doesn't hold back. So we pray. We pray for strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But it's not just some automatic thing that you just take for granted. God wants us to pray and ask him. And so we pray for strength. We pray about the things that cause us to be anxious. Have you been upset about something today? You need to pray about it. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. You know, I read this verse a few moments ago. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Both of these verses mention thanksgiving because when we pray, we don't go to God to complain. We go to God to present our requests to him. And we do so with a grateful heart. We do so with thanksgiving. And a part of that, the attitude of thanksgiving comes because we believe. We believe that our God hears and that he cares and that he answers. And we turn those things over to him. And so we pray with thanksgiving. You know, there's just 1,000 things to pray about every single day. And the enemy, Satan, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he wants to keep us from the joy, from the strength, from the blessing of prayer. And so he tries to busy us up in our life where we think we just don't have time. I want to tell you, no matter where you are, what you're doing, you can pray. If you can't pray, something's wrong. Continue in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us, pray without ceasing all through the day. Pray without ceasing. Why does the Lord say this? I think the primary reason is because he wants a real relationship with us. He doesn't want a relationship with us where he gets a few minutes of our day. That's a pretty superficial relationship. I mean, relationships in this world, you spend 3 minutes with somebody, that's a superficial relationship. In fact, a lot of people have quite a relationship with their phone. He wants a real relationship with us. And you know, here's the thing. He knows how desperately we need a real relationship with him. We need him every hour. And here's the best part of prayer. Just the simple fact that we're talking to the Lord. That's the best part. It's not just about the power. It's not just about getting free from our burden. All of those things are wonderful. But the best part, it's just about talking to the Lord. Amen. By the way, the more that you talk to him, the more that you'll learn to hear him. He says, my sheep know my voice. Smith Wigglesworth once said, I don't want to build anything about myself, but it's truly true that if you found me outside of conversation with man, I'm in conversation with God. Now, here's the man of God that if he wasn't talking to people, he was talking to God. And I just want to tell you that we need to, well, let's just you know, kind of try to imagine what that's like, that we're just talking to the Lord every second. And I understand that you got a job where you're talking to people, or you're working on the computer, and maybe you can't talk, you know, actually talk to the Lord every second. But can you just imagine what it would be like if we just started praying without ceasing? This every opportunity we get, you know, we're driving down the freeway. Can you talk on the phone while you drive down the freeway? Some of you can. Some of you talk to other drivers while you're driving down the freeway. That's right. And some of you talk to yourself while you're driving down the freeway. And you listen to that radio. Can you talk to God while you're driving down the freeway? I want to tell you, you can, and it might make your commute a different thing. In fact, just spending that time with the Lord, just praying without ceasing. We're supposed to do this all the time. This is to be a normal part of our life. And our prayers, it's not a religious exercise. We're talking to our Lord. And whatever we pray about, we always pray in faith. Jesus said, Mark 11:24, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. So we should always pray in faith. So the next thing is, we have to continue in faith. Acts 14:22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Now this part, continuing in faith, is it hard if you've been praying and you've been spending time in God's word? But here's what I want to say to you. He says, there's many tribulations. It doesn't take many tribulations to get a lot of people to give up. We got to decide that we are going to continue in faith no matter what happens. That nothing and nobody is going to take away my relationship with God. That I'm going to keep on trusting God, believing in Him, relying upon Him every day. We continue in the faith. I think it's speaking of our whole relationship with God, that we are steadfast. We're continuing to believe in Him, always trusting Him. I also think, though, that it has to do with those battles and the things that we pray about, that we're not going to back down. We're going to continue to believe, even when we don't see it. Even when maybe it looks like things are just getting worse, we're going to continue to believe. Like the Apostle Paul, we want to be able to say, 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We don't let go of our faith. We don't back down. This is something that we're supposed to live every single day. I believe. It's not a Sunday thing. It's a daily thing. And how do you keep your faith strong? Through the word of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So next, we continue in the word of God. I don't know if y'all have caught this yet, but you know, I'm throwing these things out here, and each one of these things, we could do not just a sermon, we could do a series on any one of these things. But I just want to get this in your mind, that these are things that we're supposed to do all the time. Every day, this should be a part of our life. So we continue in the Word. John 8:31, in the New King James, it says it this way, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Abide in my word. The King James says, if you continue in my word. Another translation says, if you stay in my word. See, this is one of the things that sets apart those who are really serious about serving God and those who are not. Because Jesus says, if you stay in my word, if you continue in my word, if if you continue in my word, then you really are my disciples. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. Read it every day. Meditate it. That just means to go over it and over it in your mind. And you know, I found that sometimes one verse of Scripture or one truth from Scripture that you meditate throughout the day is more life-changing than reading 10 chapters. I mean, you get a hold of one truth. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He takes me to a place of rest. He leads me beside the still waters. Oh, there's peace there. See, you just start meditating the Scripture and you just think about it. God is good. Lord, I know you're good. God is good. I know whatever's happening, whatever's going on in this world, the evil work of Satan and evil men, but God is good. Yes. See, you just get a hold of one truth from the Word and you meditate it. You go over it and over it. And the day and the time that we live in, we have the blessing and curse of electronic devices. Blessing, because why not use these things to help you get the word? See, some people, they're like, oh, you know, I can barely read. Got to get stronger and stronger glasses. But you can listen to it all day long. And nowadays, you don't even have to have a CD player, cassette player. You just listen to it on your phone. But we need to be hearing the word, listening to sermons, reading books that are full of the word. You abide in it. You live in it. You stay in it. And if you dabble in it, you'll dabble it following Jesus. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And if you stay in the word, you see, it is the key to being blessed. James 1:25 says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and walks away and forgets about it, that's not what it says, and continues in it. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. See, he doesn't just get a little dab. He stays in it. He continues in it. And is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. And see, here's this principle. When you stay in it, when you continue in it, you end up doing it. Joshua 1:8 in the Old Testament. Don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth, but meditate therein day and night. And here's what happens. That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. And here's what happens. Then you will make your way prosperous and successful. Amen. It's in the Old Testament. But it's also in the New Testament right here. He that continues in it, being a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. John 15:7, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So you stay in the word until you get the word in you. Don't be a forgetful hearer. You need the word. You need the word. There is so much deception in this world. All kinds of false teaching. Satan is a master deceiver. It is his number one weapon. He's been doing it ever since the garden. How did he get Eve to sin? He deceived her. That's how it happened. That's what the Bible says. And he even tried to deceive the Lord Jesus when he tempted him. And how did he do it? One of those times he took the scripture, but he was using it in a way that is not meant to be used. And he's a master at twisting the scripture. And it is amazing to me how much false teaching is going on in our day and our time. We have to continue in sound teaching. Now I want to tell you, we can't do that without the Word. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." We got to continue in sound teaching, sound doctrine. People get so messed up with some new doctrine all the time, and they talk about how deep it is and how, "Ooh, did you know? Ooh, this is really deep." I've said it before, but I want to tell you, let me tell you, the deepest you can go, the deepest you can ever go, is to be like Jesus. Amen. That's as deep as you'll ever get, is to know Him and to be like Him. All this fad stuff and silly stuff people come up with, they get a little piece of a verse or a verse here and a verse there and try to stick it together in ways it was never intended, and they make up some phony baloney. And I don't even want to mention one because it'll make somebody in here mad. But I want to tell you what we need. It's not some, "Ooh, did you know? We got this teaching that nobody else has." That's a good sign. It's false doctrine. The scripture is not open to private interpretation. That's what the Bible says. But there's a lot of guys out there, they want to draw a following by saying, "Ooh, I've got this teaching nobody else has." And don't come give me a book about some wackadoo doctrine. "Oh, pastor, you need to read this." Help me, Jesus. I didn't. That's not in the notes, but I'm just telling you, people get messed up. And here's the thing. Yes, there are things that we need to be open to receive, things that, I mean, I'm still learning. But we learn from the scripture and sound doctrine and truth, not just from stories and fables. And 2 Timothy 3:14, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Well, that's part of what we're doing tonight. Let's talk about the things you've learned, and, you know, let's talk about prayer. Let's talk about the Word. Oh, my goodness. These are so basic. "Oh, pastor, let's get on to something cool. Let's talk about something we don't know." No, we need to continue in the sound things. I mean, once we've gotten all this stuff down, well, we can move on to something else, right? I'm still working on my prayer life. I got convicted about this message tonight, about praying without ceasing. Don't get off track by the philosophies of this world that infiltrate the church. It amazes me how they take things of the world and they try to adapt and twist the Word of God to fit the attitudes of the day. And so I got to make somebody mad tonight, but I'd like to do the whole teaching because I can show you in the scripture how this is false. But we got these guys now, they say that, "Husbands, you got to submit to your wife." Here's the amazing thing about that. For almost 2,000 years, that was never taught. Oh, but now we've been enlightened. "Husbands, submit to your wife." Submit yourselves one to another. It's talking about all of us being willing to yield to our brothers and sisters in Christ. But then when he starts talking about the family, he makes it real clear how that's supposed to work in a family, that a husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, and a wife is to submit herself to her own husband. But now, see, we gotta figure out how to make this socially acceptable in our culture, so you husbands, you have to submit to your wife too. And let me tell you exactly how that works. Whoever is the stronger personality is going to be the boss in that home. Okay. That's just one little example. I just have to give you an example of false teaching. There's a whole bunch. But let me tell you how it happens. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Fables are stories. The Living Bible, by the way, says misguided ideas. See, you can twist the scripture to say just about anything, and people do. Itching ears. How do you scratch itching ears? With something new and novel. And the worst deceptions are the ones that are shrouded in a little bit of scripture. That's why you got to grow in the word. When you only know a little scripture, it's too easy to go astray. I am going to point out one last thing to you. We read in 2 Timothy 3:14, he says, knowing whom you have learned them. And the point here is you need to be careful about who you listen to and who you sit under. And the day and the time that we live in, where you can listen to anybody every day, 24 hours a day on the internet, you especially need to be careful about who you listen to. And just because they got a big, big church doesn't mean that they're preaching the truth. Well, I need this next one after all of that. Continue in the grace of God. Acts 13:43, now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. There's always a temptation because of pride to fall back into a works mentality. Don't go there. It's really not a new thing. People start falling into this works mentality, judging others. Jesus said about the religious people, he said, they strain on a gnat and swallow a camel. And so often when people start judging others, they are the ones with the bigger sin. They're judging other people. Jesus says, do not judge. They're judging other people. They're being critical, mean-spirited. And you see, we go back into that old system of feeling like we're righteous because I'm good. I did what's right. I'm the one that, you know, I'm being spiritual here. They're not. That's works. We are all saved by grace. That's the only way. Right. Somebody talking about how they've been good, they're going to go to heaven. No, they need to get saved. Right. The only way you can go to heaven is by the blood of Jesus and no other way. So we've got to continue in the grace of God. And not just when it comes to our mindset about going to heaven, but how we live this life. It is by the grace of God. If we become anything at all, it is by the grace of God. Amen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You see, even his hard work, he says it was the grace of God working in me. You see, we give God all the glory. We don't allow works mentality. It always is born out of and breeds pride. Leave the pride. Leave the self-righteousness. Continue in grace. Continue in brotherly love. Hey, we're picking up speed here. Hebrews 13:1. Let brotherly love continue. Brotherly love. That's the family kind of love. It's the love you have for those that you're close to. Brotherly love. That's what we're supposed to have in the body of Christ. Yes, we have the agape love of God for the whole world. But with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're to let brotherly love continue. I used to know this little poem, and I didn't write it down. I don't remember exactly how it goes, but it goes something like this. To love the whole world for me is no chore, but to love my neighbor next door. Anyway, you get the idea. But here's what I want to say, though. You see, we're supposed to love each other up close and personal. It's supposed to be, you know, where we're glad to see each other. And appropriately, of course, we hug one another. Amen. That's the way this is supposed to be. Let brotherly love continue. You know why? We need that. And we need that kind of commitment and affection for one another. See, a time we're living in, it's just become a thing where people just walk away from church. It's not family. It's no big deal. And here's the thing. Everybody's been hurt at church. If you hadn't, well, your turn's coming. You know why? Because the church is people. And by the way, I know all about it. Believe me. I know all about it. I've been called the devil. I ain't going to tell you all the ugly things. I'm just going to tell you, I know all about it. But here's what I know. We bear with one another. And we forgive one another. And we love one another. That's the way it's supposed to be with our church family. Don't stop loving. Next, continue in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes we change what we do for the Lord, but we should never stop working for the Lord. Steadfast, immovable. Well, do some little something for God. I'll find some little something to do. No. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And he didn't write this to the apostles. He wrote this to the church. Why do we continue in it? He says, our labor is not in vain. You know, that's one of the hardest parts of working for the Lord, is that a lot of the time we don't see the harvest as fast as we would like to. In fact, sometimes, you know, whether you're leading a small group or you're working with the kids or whatever else, you're witnessing to people, sometimes it just seems like you're doing these things and you can't really tell that it helps or makes a difference. But you see, we have to have faith and trust God and believe, because we plant and we water, but he gives the increase. And we just have to trust him with that. Amen. You know, I understand why people stop working. I understand. I understand what it feels like to be tired and burn out. I understand also what it feels like to be hurt and rejected and not want to. And I've heard over and over and over through the years where people say, I used to do this and I used to do that. And I always say, well, what are you doing now? And I'm like, nothing. Okay. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I found a lot of reasons to stop, to give up, but none that I can tell my Lord. None that I would not be ashamed to stand before Him at the judgment seat and say, well, let me tell you, Lord. So I want to encourage you, keep teaching, keep witnessing, keep serving in whatever way God has allowed you to do. You keep faithfully working for the Lord. Jesus said in John 4:34, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. We need that same attitude, that what satisfies us is to do His work. We want to finish what God has given us to do. Last, continue to praise God. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, Pastor, you said we're supposed to be praying all the time. Well, you can manage them both. You'll figure it out. But they go together really well. But His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How's that working? Are you finding too many things to gripe about and complain about? I do sometimes. My poor wife, she just says, I'm praying for you. We have so much to give God praise for. Yes, we do. But you know, the sad thing is that when people complain, they're miserable, they're unhappy, and they end up being ungrateful. And it's amazing how, you know, we can say, well, you know, if everything was going right, I would have something to praise God for. It's amazing when we start giving God thanks and praising the Lord, how that it changes things. It changes our perspective and our attitude. And grateful people are happy people. And it's so much better. But more than that, He's worthy of our endless praise. All that we could ever give to Him. Even when life is hard and things go wrong, He's still worthy of our praise. And others need to hear our praise of what God has done for us and what God is doing in our life. I tell you, it's a blessing to other people and they'll rejoice with us. But it gives them hope and faith that God can work in their life. And what a witness it is to the lost. You see, when they hear how that our God has answered prayer, you know what? They want something that works. And when they hear that our faith, what we have, our religion, they might call it, is real and makes a difference in our life, and that our God is good to us and we're praising Him, oh, how that draws people and gives them a hunger to know the Lord. All these things are to be continued. We continue in prayer, we continue in faith, we continue in the Word, we continue in sound doctrine, we continue in the grace of God, we continue in brotherly love, we continue in praise. All these things, no matter how old we are, No matter how busy we are, no matter how frustrated, how anxious we are, no matter how weary we are, we need to continue these things. And here's the thing. If we'll continue these things, we'll get to see how this story is really supposed to end. If we don't continue these things, yes, we're going to go to heaven someday, but I just want to tell you there were a lot of your story in this life that won't turn out as God's best. We got to continue in these things. I just want to challenge you, encourage you tonight to have some resolve about these things, that you're going to persevere. You're going to make sure that you're doing these things that the Scripture tells us is important enough that we're to continue them. Stand with me. I'm going to pray over you and I'm going to let you be dismissed.